are starting a new series, and we did that last week. We're in week two right now, and we're talking about prophecies and what God can plan in advance and what he can do. And because of that, we actually can learn some things about how God's character applies to our life today. Okay? All right, so we're going to jump in. We're going to look at a verse called from Hosea. And I promise you, if some of you are new to the Bible, you're like, this is a trick question. That's not real. And it's fair because you probably have not heard many sermons out of the book of Hosea, but that's okay. Okay, so we're looking at Hosea chapter 11. It's toward the Old Testament. And it's Hosea 11. We're going to put it up on the screen. You can write it down in your notes. I encourage you guys to write notes today because I believe God's going to do something powerful. Hosea 11 verse 1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt." And so, just so we know this, just for some context, Hosea 11 is kind of written about 700 plus years before Jesus. So, I mean, it's not recent, it's not close, it's not anything like that. It's 700 plus years before Jesus. And this is what the Lord says through Hosea. He says, "I'm going to call my son out of Egypt." So that tells us God's capable of planning something in advance. God's capable of doing something well in advance. He's aware of details that are to come. And he's calling his shot 700 plus years in advance. He's got details planned out. He knows things that are going to happen even when we don't know what's going to happen. And so I want us to go look at Matthew 2 now. Hosea 11, 1 was the prophecy. I want us to look at Matthew 2 together now because God calls his shot. He calls his shot and it comes through. And if you want to write down, I've actually got a title for the message today. I know it's been a hot minute if you've been here. We haven't had some titles lately. And it's because this is not my strength. And my team member, Hadley Watson, who helps me with the titles, she's been working. And so we finally got one for y'all today. I hope you like it. It's called Godly Positioning System. Godly Positioning System, and that stands for GPS. And some of you are like, oh man, I get it now. And then some of you are still like, I don't get it. And that's okay. You write down the title. It's going to come to pass. But today we're going to talk about how do we have a GPS in our life? Because some of you, you may have decisions in front of you. You may be trying to figure out what is God trying to do, where he's leading. You ever try to ask these questions? How do I figure out what God's doing? What's he wanting me to do? How do I have a spiritual GPS? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to give you some things to really help you in that area because they're from Scripture. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 says, "After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother,' the angel said. 'Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' That night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, 'I called my son out of Egypt.' Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. And Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead." And Bobby, if you can help me out, Bobby, will you hit those light switches on over there? That'd be a huge help, man. Thank you, Bobby. Let's give it up for Bobby. Yeah. Helping a team player out there. Okay. So what happens here is, man, I know that Christmas time, I love Christmas time. I'm going to be honest with you. I love Christmas time. I want all the Christmas lights. I want all the Christmas music. I want it far earlier than socially allowed, but I'm here for it. I will keep my Christmas tree up well past Christmas time, and I will turn the lights on, and it'll be like February, and if you come over to my house, you will judge me, and I will not care because I'm here for it. Christmas is not like one day. It's like one-third of the year in my life, okay? So I just rock it. But Christmas time, as much as I love it, may be hard for people. This may be a season of life that's really hard for people. And I want you to understand, Jesus' entire life on this planet was always marked with difficulty. Every time his birthday kind of rolled around, there was this cloud of what had happened when he was born. Grandparents had a hard time with this season because their grandsons were taken. Parents had a hard time in this season because their sons were taken. Siblings had a hard time because their brothers were taken. This was always, in these generations, a very hard season. And Christmas may be a really hard season for you, and I want you to know Jesus is aware of that. Jesus is capable of working through that pain. Pain is not lost on him. His entire life, he spent dealing with the pain that generations experienced during this, because man, that was hard. And Jesus knows it's hard. I want you to understand that he has spent his entire life here and now moving forward up in heaven. He is capable of understanding and working in our pain. And I don't want you to try to think that just because Christmas time can be painful for you that that's bad or you're wrong or God's not capable of working with that, because he is. He's capable. He spent his entire life dealing with the pain of what happened around his birth. But there's another thing that's going on here, and that's that they have to go to Egypt. Just like Hosea said, 700 plus years, he's going to call his son out of Egypt, but they had to go there. They had to go to Egypt, and I don't think that was in the five-year plan. Any of you guys operate off five-year plans, maybe? Some of you guys planners? Praise God, we don't have a single planner here. That should be good for us. We should all fly by the seat of our pants, apparently. Okay, well, I'm the one planner in the room. We got one in the back. Praise the Lord. Let's give it up for the one planner in the building. All right, so Michaela, you're on our leadership team. I'll be talking to you today. We're the two people that will get this analogy. Okay, maybe this message is for you and for me, apparently, the only two people. Maybe you're online or in Hiawassee. Hiawassee, I believe you're still with me. You're helping out. Here we go, okay? So sometimes when we try to plan things out, that's not always what God has for us. And as you all non-planners, you don't know what I'm talking about, but just show me grace and hang with me. I don't think Mary and Joseph were planning to move to Egypt. I don't think that was on the five-year plan. Poor Joseph doesn't get talked about a whole lot sometimes, and he shouldn't. He's not the star of the story. It's Jesus, I'll give you that. But Joseph's life, his five-year plan was the dumpster fire, okay? I don't think his first part of the plan was, I want to marry a girl, and I'd like her to be pregnant before we get married. With not my child either. Okay, that's not how most men are looking to go into a marriage. I promise you, things we're not looking for, the top of the list, my fiance is pregnant with some other person's child. That's not on the top of the list, okay? God can work through it. He does in this story, okay? But on top of that, they go, and then they look to have the child, and they can't get in anywhere, okay? And then the child is born in some manger stall with some animals. It's not a comfortable situation. The poor Ritz-Carlton wasn't around. This is not going to plan. On top of that, then they get sent to Egypt. He doesn't even get to raise the kid around family because they're over in Egypt now. That can't be part of the plan. Except it is. God said 700 years before this all happened, this is part of the plan. And see, what may not be part of what you and I are planning very much can be what God is planning. What God was not surprised by, God was not intimidated by, God was not caught off guard. Our five-year plan can be very cute to God sometimes because God already knows what's coming. We can plan all these things in advance, but maybe that's not where God was leading. And you may hear sometimes people say this phrase, but they try to keep their plans with open hands because they know God needs to put things in and take things out. Do you hold your plans with an open hand? Or do you kind of know where you're going? You know what life's supposed to be. You're very driven. You've got it planned out. And before you know it, it's kind of real clenched. And there's not a lot of room for God to navigate. See, what if Joseph had said, I'm not going to Egypt. That's not part of the plan. That's not how we do things. I'm not ready for this. I'm not capable of leading my family to Egypt. I can't do that. But that's what God was calling. And see, if we have an open hand to let God lead us and move things in and take things out and let time frames look different, and there's a patience, then God can move. If God's capable of planning something 700 plus years in advance and calling his shot, Is he still capable of doing that today with your life? And the answer is yes. God's capable of planning something long before you were born and saying, I've planned for this moment in time. Do you hold your plans with open hands? I want us to keep reading in Matthew chapter 2. It says in verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. And then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in the town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, he will be called a Nazarene. And again, in this Christmas story, a lot of times we see the birth of Jesus, and that's a really important detail. It's kind of a huge deal in all of Scripture. But we miss what Mary and Joseph go through sometimes. And man, their life has turned into sheer chaos. Okay, this is not what Joseph was signing up for. The dude was a carpenter probably and was just like, I like building houses. That's what I do. I was just looking for a nice wife to get my life going, expanded. I was following along with the normal customs of the day. And now his life is, I've got my new wife. We've got some child that's not mine. We've been told about it from some angels and some dreams, and I'm just trying to go with it. And now there's people who are trying to kill my son, and then there's also people that I'm trying to protect them from, and we're trying to come back around family now to Israel, but they're still causing problems, and now I'm going to have to go move to Nazareth, and nothing in life is looking the way I thought it would. But it's looking exactly how God had planned. And your life may not be looking like what you thought it would. But maybe it's looking how God had planned. And it's chaotic. It's difficult. It's stressful. There's fear. Okay, they talk about Joseph's in fear because obviously he's coming to kill people in his family. That's not a good situation. But there's a capacity of God to navigate all of it. There's a capacity of God to navigate the start of the marriage between Mary and Joseph. There's a capacity to navigate going and trying to go to Bethlehem and finding room in the birth of a child. There's a capacity of God to navigate all that's going on when they have to go to Egypt and then come back and there's still people after them. There's a capacity of God to navigate through all of that. All those things that at some point you and I may have had temptation to throw up our hands and go, this is too much. This isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I thought it would look like. This is too much. But God has this capacity to navigate even the hardest moments. And then if you're pretty logical and you pay attention to the text, you would go, this isn't really even fair. Because every time they had a big decision, it seems like Joseph has a dream or an angel shows up in their life. I'm not getting help like that. You know what I'm saying? Or at least I'm not, as I'm trying to work on my five-year plan. I don't know if Michaela, if you're working on your five-year plan, because we're the only planners here, apparently. And so, does anybody else want to come back? I'll give grace. Does anybody else want to just raise their hand right now that you are a planner? Okay, praise God we got in the message. Some of y'all coming out the woodwork. Okay, all right, here we go. And so, as God's working through all of that, I don't know about you, I don't get a lot of angels showing up in my life to talk to me. I don't have a ton of dreams. I'll tell you, I've had a couple, but they don't seem to be overly frequent, you know? And so maybe you do, I don't, or maybe you're like me, you don't. And you would go, man, that'd be nice. That'd be nice if I had a big decision in front of me, if I could just have a dream, an angel show up and tell me what to do, life would be easier. It'd still be hard. It'd still be difficult. Mary and Joseph are going through difficult things, but I would take that. I'd sign up for that. So then the question becomes, if we don't seem to be getting angels, our dreams, our visions to help us navigate, does God still care? And the answer is yes. How do we navigate things if we're not getting the dreams or angels? And that's where a godly positioning system would come in handy. And the three of you who are still paying attention to the message, you're very impressed that I've brought it all the way back around. So how do we have a GPS system? How do we have a godly positioning system? And You can turn here if you want, or you can just write the verse down. But I want us to look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, because there's some characteristics we can learn from Mary and Joseph of how they're trying to follow God, and it can still apply to our life today. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, if you want to write it down, we're going to put it up on the screens as well. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And Mary and Joseph, they kind of have to seem like this. They get this verse. That's how their life is. They're having to submit to what God's wanting to do in and through them. He's leading them. He's guiding them. They're having to submit. But their path, as crazy as it is, their path is all over the place, looking at different things. Their path doesn't seem necessarily very straight, but God says, this is the path I have before you. What a path looks absolutely crazy to us, to God, looks very straight and easy. Have you ever thought about it like that? That God is not intimidated by the path he's leading you on. God's not intimidated by the path he's leading you on. Now, Mary and Joseph, they were probably freaking out lots of times, but God is not intimidated by the path that he has them on. And so it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The first thing we've got to have is a submittance to God. We got to submit to God. And so as you're going through life, are you submitting to God? Because when it comes to our plans, planners in the back, we have ideas of how we'd like life to look like, right? We have some career choices we'd like in front of us. We'd have some relationship goals in front of us, okay? And if you don't have relationship goals, you might look like old Phil in high school, and you go and get some relationships that look like you didn't have very good goals. You know what I'm saying? Okay, apparently all y'all real good in your dating life as well. Or you're just sitting next to your spouse, and you're like, I can't say anything here. This is a trap question, Pastor. I'm not trying to set you up. I'm talking about the other relationships you be in, okay? Can we submit to God in all of our ways, and he will make our path straight? But what I want to tell you is the right path isn't always the easy path. The right path is not always the easy path. I don't think Mary and Joseph really wanted to go to Egypt. That's not the path they wanted to go on. That's not the easy path. Being around family and friends, that was the easy path. But God says, no, we need to go to Egypt to protect the child. And they're like, I get that. They come back and they're like, okay, now we can settle where we're from. And they can't even go there. They've got to go to Nazareth. And if you read the Bible, you understand they say things like nothing good comes from Nazareth. So it's not the nice district to buy a house, if you know what I mean. But that's where God's leading them. And if they're willing to submit, they start going and doing all these things that surely they weren't planning, but they're trying to go where God has them. So are you willing to submit? Because if we submit in all of our ways, then the path becomes straight. But it's not always going to look straight to us. It's straight for the Lord as he's leading us. So are you trying to control your plans, or is there a willingness to submit to God in all of your ways, in all of your ways? And I want us to read Psalm 23. Psalm 23, it's going to be real close to Proverbs 3. So if you're already at Proverbs 3, I promise you, you're real close. You start in back up in the New Testament, you missed it. It's okay. If you're in Proverbs, you just go backwards a little bit. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And I think some of us, we need to underline that because we're going to come back to that. Underline, highlight, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me. I love that imagery. I love that imagery that the Lord is my shepherd. And it says, I have all that I need. You know what I've gotten in trouble a lot of times in life? It's not only when I'm playing out what life's going to look like, but I need something from where I'm trying to get to. I need something from where I'm trying to get to. If I need that promotion, or I need that deal to close, or I need this significant other, or I need this to look house, or I need to move to this area, I need X. And if I can get there, then I'll have peace. Then I'll have happiness. But Psalm 23 says the opposite. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is our shepherd. I have all that I need. When I lack peace in my life, it's because I'm looking for some other direction that's not coming from the shepherd. When I keep my eyes as a sheep on the shepherd and I don't look at what's going on around me, I'm just looking for, like, where are we going? Where are you leading? Where are you taking? If I can keep my eyes on the shepherd, I don't really worry about where we're going because I'm just focused on the shepherd. I'm going where he's going. Where I get myself in a lot of trouble as a sheep is when I'm looking everywhere else. I'm like, look at that nice tree, those shrubberies. Look at, let's go to the shrubberies over here. The shrubberies away from the shepherd have never been good to me. I don't know about you. So if you end up in some shrubberies and your shepherd ain't around, it's about to be bad. That's just how that goes. But man, when I keep my eyes on the shepherd, I don't worry about what's around me. I'm good. Because if I'm willing to submit in all of my ways and say, Lord, I think you'll make my path straight. I'm not going to even worry about what the path looks like because I'm going to focus on the shepherd and where you're leading, and then I'm good. I have all that I need because I'm with my shepherd. And where we get ourselves in trouble so much is when we've got a 5-year plan, we know what everything's supposed to look like. I need something from over here, even though we never admit that out loud, right? And then we're going, and before we know it, we're a sheep on a bad path with no shepherd around. Because we were focused on other things besides where the Lord was leading. But also look what our shepherd's willing to do. Man, it tells us things like our shepherd is allowing us to rest. One of the things you may realize, if you're not on the path the shepherd has for you, you haven't rested in a really long time. And it's not all rest. That's not what this verse says. It's not all rest, but there's points where there is. And one of the ways to realize if you're not following the shepherd is when you never, ever rest. That's not the path that he has for you long term, is to never rest. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right paths. And then it says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I won't be afraid, for you're close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Notice the characteristic of God there as our shepherd is it doesn't say we're never going to go through dark valleys. It doesn't say we're never going to have difficult things. It doesn't mean we're not going to have to pick up and move to Egypt. It doesn't mean we're not going to have to pick up and move to Nazareth. It doesn't mean that we may have to go into the marriage there because our fiance is already pregnant and God's doing something special and I got angels showing up in my life. It doesn't mean things won't be hard. It says my shepherd's right there with me, though. And man, I love that knowledge that if I'm right there next to my shepherd, even in the darkest valley, his staff protects me. I take comfort not in the dark valley around me, but I take comfort that my shepherd is right there with me, leading me. And we have to understand sometimes as Christians, one of the things we do as sheep is when we get into a dark valley, we balk. We balk. We either sit down, we go, this is too much, this is difficult, this can't be where the path was going, and we sit down in the dark valley, even though the shepherd's saying it's time to go. The path is before us. I see where we're going. And in a dark valley, you and I may not see the path. We may go, I don't know where this is necessarily going, but the shepherd says, I do. I know where we're going. I'm the one who can plan something 700 years in advance. I'm fine. I know where I'm going. Follow me. Follow me. Sometimes as a sheep, when we get into a dark valley, what do we want to go back to? We want to go back to an old comfort. I want to go back to where I was from. I want to go back to what I know. I want to go back to where I'm comfortable. A shepherd doesn't always lead us where we're comfortable. A shepherd does not always lead us where we're comfortable because he knows where we're going. And the thing that also can make us really uncomfortable is the pace of the shepherd sometimes. And sometimes in life, we want to move a lot slower than the pace of our shepherd. I want to move at a comfortable pace. And our shepherd may be saying, that is not the pace for this season. The pace of this season, we need to pick it up. We need some faith. We got to go. We got to move. That's where we're going. We don't need to stay here very long. This is not somewhere we need to stay long. We need to move with some pace. But the flip side of that is sometimes it also takes faith to slow down. Sometimes we want to run in front of the shepherd because all of a sudden, oh, I know where we're going. I know where we're going. I know what we need to do. Okay, God, I got it. Boom. We take off running. I don't know if you've ever seen sheep run. It's curious. I tell you, for our shepherd, it's not a good view watching you and I run in front. But that's our tendency sometimes, is once we figure out what God's doing, I got it from here. Boof. We're off running. Our pace needs to be with our shepherd. And sometimes faith and trust in our shepherd means we need to move faster. We got to pick up the pace. And then sometimes it's the opposite. We got to slow down. We got to move at the pace the shepherd's moving. And it may not be moving as fast as you'd like, but you need to move at the pace of the shepherd. It may have been 2 years in Egypt. Do you think they wanted to live in Egypt for 2 years? I don't think so. That's not what we're looking for, but that was the pace of the shepherd. When they came back and the path led to Nazareth, do you think that's what they wanted to do? No. Did you think they want to stay there as Jesus grew up? Probably not. But that was the pace of the shepherd because he knew where we were going. He knew the path to take. Are we willing to follow him along that? The character of God is not to navigate difficult things. It's to be right there beside us. The character of God is not to just leave us in difficult things. It's to be right there beside us. And you may be going through a really difficult season, but I'm here to tell you, if you have submitted yourself to God, even in the darkest valley, if you are still submitted, the shepherd is right there with you. What can get scary is when we decide to do our own thing and we're on our own path, our own way. That's not where the shepherd was leading. But you know, I got good news. Y'all remember I said I got good news at the beginning? Two of you were like, praise God, I do remember that. It's right here in my notes. I fell asleep since then, but I do got that. I got good news because, man, even if you and I, we go off on our own path and we do our own thing, and we even knew we were kind of rebelling against God. We even knew we were doing the wrong thing. We were making our own path, and all of a sudden we're like, man, this is not where I need to be. The good news is the grace of God is we have a shepherd who will come to that wrong path. He'll come show up and go, this isn't the best I had for you. This isn't the plans I have for you. Let me lead you back to where we're going. That's the grace of a great shepherd. That's the character of God. And I've got good news for you today. If you're on the wrong path and you're doing the wrong thing and you've been trying to do it in your own strength and you're doing your own ways, the grace of our shepherd is to come get us and lead us back to where we're supposed to go. That's so good. So I want to talk about three things because I don't know. Apparently that's what pastors are supposed to do. We're supposed to have 3 points. And I don't need any of y'all give me like a 1-star Google review, right? Because that, I don't know, I probably get like lack of discounts on some shopping. I don't know how the system works. But I got 3 things, learning from Mary and Joseph and what Scripture says of how do we have a GPS system? How do you and I have a godly positioning system? From Scripture, the first point is we have to have a humble heart before God. The first thing you have to have if you want a working GPS system is you have to have a humble heart before God. And you and I, maybe this, me, over time, I would never want to project on you because apparently I'm the only planner here, right? Is sometimes we really want something and we'll convince ourselves enough that's what God wants. And we'll go, man, we can get there. God will bless it. That's really good. That's a great idea. And we just kind of go. But our heart really isn't, God, whatever you want. It's not an open hand posture. It's, God, I love you. Clenched fist. I want to do what you want me to do. Ready to punch. Man, the first thing, if you want a GPS system that works, is you've got to be able to pray. God, I'd love for us to go here. I'd love to see this happen. I'd love this 5-year plan to happen, but not my will, but your will. God, take me where you want me to go. This is what I'm asking for. I'd love to see this happen, but take me where you want. I can tell you as a pastor, I've got 5-year plans. I've got 10-year plans. I've got 30-year plans and visions that I'd love to see God do here at Vertical Church. I'd love it. I think they're all great ideas. But you know what Vertical needs? It doesn't need my best intention plans. It needs a shepherd who's going to lead the church on the right path. Okay. All right. We're still here. We're together. All right. There's sometimes I think people may say amen or clap. I didn't expect that one. So praise God, we're still together. We're hanging on here. But that's how we've got to live our life is, God, I can have plans. I can have dreams. I can have all these things that God doesn't think that's bad. Where it gets us in trouble is if we're not willing to let God lead us even in a different direction, even if it's towards something that we didn't, quote, want, even if it's a different direction that we weren't planning on. Have dreams, have visions, have plans. Of course, I think you should. The Bible talks about you shouldn't go build the tower without counting the cost. You should be organized. You should be planned, but you should be open-handed. God, lead us. Take us where you want. I can have the best plan in the world, but take us where you want us to do. The second thing is go where the path leads. If you want to have a GPS system that works, it's you got to go where the path leads. Because, man, look at Mary and Joseph's life. The path was consistently going in front of them. There was paths in front of them, but none of it was planned. And that's where we have to have a humble heart, because we'll never go down the path in front of us if we don't have a humble heart of, God, I want to do what you want me to do. We'll start just digging our own path. I mean, good heavens, there may be a brick wall in front of us, and as a sheep, we'll just start digging. That's where we got to go. That's where we got to plan. There's a path right next to us, but I got no time for that because this is where we need to go. No, go where the path leads. Go where the path leads. And the reason our GPS system will never work if we're not willing to submit to God is because if we aren't willing to go where he is leading, we'll never see an open path because we only see the path we want. But here's the thing a good shepherd does, if we're willing to submit to him, is he'll open doors, but he'll also close doors. And we can't be people who are like, man, I love God. He's an open door God. And then as soon as the door closes, we go, how infuriating. I've picked a terrible shepherd. A great shepherd will close the door too. He'll tell us, no, that's not the path. It may look good, it may look amazing, but I'm telling you, I can see that path. And a good shepherd says, eventually where this leads is not good. This is not good. I'm going to close this door. And we'll never buy into that if we first don't have that humble heart. If we don't have that humble heart, when God closes a door, we may not like it, we may throw a fit, we may not trust, but if we will trust, we'll go where the path leads. Even if it makes no sense, even if it's the path is going to Egypt, even if the path is going to Nazareth, we'll go where the path leads because we trust and we submit in all of our ways to God. The third thing is we've got to trust the shepherd to make the way. Trust the shepherd to make the way. Because the hardest thing is we may submit to all of our ways. We may submit to God. But as soon as we get to that dark valley, as soon as we get to that door closed, as soon as the path God has for us isn't what we wanted, or even if we get down a path and we were following God and now the direction changes from what we thought it was going to look like, or what if there's two paths? Have y'all ever got here? There was two paths in life, maybe three. Some of you may have been blessed. There's seven. Goodness knows, I would not be good at that. But there could be lots of paths in front of us, but if we're, one, willing to submit in all of our ways, we're not going to go pick the path that we think it's best. We may have a plan, pros and cons list, all of those things, but ultimately, if we go, God, I'll plan and I'll be the best steward that I can be, because I don't think God's asking us to be ill-prepared, but I want to submit in all of my ways. I see all these paths. I see the pros and cons. I want to go where you want me to go. And doors may open and doors may close, but ultimately I want to go where the shepherd is leading. And that can be hard. Y'all ever been in moments like that where you have a couple choices in front of you and they all seem pretty good and it's hard to decide like where to go? And that's where you have to go through these three checks. Is first, are you willing to submit in all of your ways? Because if you're not, you're eventually just going to pick where you want to go. But if your heart truly is able to pray, God, I submit in all of my ways. Wherever I go, it's truly wherever you want to go. The second thing is then if we're willing to submit in that way, we have to believe that God will close and open doors as we go. And if we're willing to pray that first prayer, God, whatever you want, I submit in all of my ways. When a door closes, we have to be okay with it. When a door opens that surprises us, we have to be okay with it. And if there's multiple paths to go, sometimes you have to follow along that path, trusting the shepherd is going until a door closes or opens. And that may be surprising, but we have to trust the shepherd, because sometimes we expect a door to be at certain points in the road, and it's not there. It's just open path. That door hasn't shown up yet, and so we have to trust the shepherd to keep going until that door closes or opens. That's hard. But that comes back to the third thing, is trust the shepherd to make the way. Trust the shepherd to make the way. You and I, our job simply is to look at the shepherd. Go where he's going. Stop where he closes. But don't mistake a difficulty for a closed door. Don't mistake a difficulty for a closed door, because Psalm 23 says he's going to lead us into a dark valley. I promise you, if you haven't been in one, it's dark. It's hard. It's difficult. And the only path forward out of there is to trust the shepherd and not what's around you. And just because it's dark, even just because it's difficult, that doesn't mean the door is closed. You've got to go until this is not open. This is not passable. And then trust the shepherd. And that's why those three things have to work in harmony. You can say, I follow the shepherd all day long, but if you're not willing to submit in your ways, you're eventually going to get to a path and go do your own thing, because it's not submitted in all of our ways. You have to be, at the core of it, submitted in all of your ways. And I'm telling you, if you're struggling with a decision in front of you, the biggest thing you've got to be able to pray, if you want a GPS system to work in your life, is you've got to say, God, here's what I would love to see happen. Here's where I would love to go. Here's what I'm asking for, but not my will, your will. Wherever you want me to go, God, lead me, guide me. I'm going to move. I'm going to keep going, but shut the doors where you don't want me to go. I want to go where you want me to go. And if you are willing to pray those prayers, if you are willing to submit in all of your ways, here's what Scripture tells us. We follow a good shepherd. If you are willing to truly submit in all of your ways, the Bible tells us we have a good shepherd who gives us all that we need and knows the right path for us to go. And as you head into next year, you may be confused, you may be difficult, but I'm telling you, if you will do at least that first thing for sure, submit in all of your ways, follow the Lord, follow the path, trust the shepherd, you will get to where God is trying to take you. It may be at a pace that's different than what you were looking for. It may be more difficult than you thought it would. It may have had darkest valleys that you never anticipated, but if you trust the shepherd, he is going to get you to where you're supposed to be. And so if the worship team wants to come back up, we're going to close out this service. And we'll always have this moment in the service, because I believe in faith every Sunday that God's going to speak to us, that he's going to lead us. He's going to put somebody on our heart that maybe we need to pray for. He's going to point something out in our heart or mind that maybe we need to talk to God about. But he's going to do something. If we came with an expectation and we engaged, we're going to have an encounter with God. I fully believe that. And so in this moment, what's God asking you to do? Has he put a family member or a coworker on your heart and you just know, man, they're not following the shepherd? They're not submitted in all of their ways, and it hurts your heart, and it's time. God's saying, pray for them. Pray for them right now. Don't wait till later. Pray for them right now. Care about them. Love them. Support them. Maybe in this moment, God's pointing some things out, and he says, you're not submitted in all of your ways. You're not following me in all of your ways, and the path is not straight for you right now. And he's asking you, come submit. And so as we close out this service, I want to ask you to stand, because I'm going to pray for some people. And right now, if you know the path you're on is just not, it's not where God wants you. It's not the best for he has for you. Or maybe you've got some choices in front of you and they're really hard and you just want me to pray for you. You say, Philip, I got paths. I got different things in front of me. And I'm struggling with what is the right path. I'm struggling. I want to follow the shepherd. I am submitted all my ways. But man, the paths in front of me, they're hard. They're difficult. And I'm not sure what to do. Will you just pray for me that I'll hear the shepherd's voice? I want to pray for you. It's not always easy. Again, called to Egypt or Nazareth, that's not always easy. And so as we close out, I want to pray. I want to be supportive. I want to care. And so if that's you, if you know that there's some choices in front of me, and Pastor, will you just pray for me? I'm trying to follow the shepherd. I'm trying to do the right thing. Will you just pray that I hear from the Lord? If that's you, just put your hand up and put it back down. Amen. 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 Praying for you in Hiwassee and online. There's a lot of you guys where you got some choices in front of you and you want to do the right thing. You want to follow God. So church, let's pray together. Let's pray together in this moment and ask God to lead us and to guide us and to be that shepherd the Bible tells us he is. Lord, I come before you believing that we can trust you, believing that you are the best shepherd, believing that you have everything we need. I pray for these people who had the courage to put up their hands saying, God, I want to submit. I want to do the right thing. I want to follow you, but it's hard. It's difficult. I'm not even necessarily sure where to go. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll speak right into their life. Give them a peace. Calm their hearts and their minds. Even right now, just begin to lead them by your peace and your comfort. Lord, just remind them that you are with them. Even if they went off on the wrong path, just remind them right now, you've shown up and you are the shepherd who can lead us back onto the right path by your grace and your love. You are the best shepherd. And I pray for each and every one of us, God, that we'll be a people who submit to you, that we look to lead or follow you on the path you put before us, that we'll trust in you as the shepherd and not ourselves. God, won't you please help us to do the right thing in the right way at the right time? Thank you for your faithfulness and your grace to us, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.